Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to Balance Point, wherever you may happen to be on God's glorious earth. If you are a first-time visitor to the Balance Point Christian Communities, we welcome you. We invite you to just come in and be part of the family. This message and this service is our gift to you. If you are a regular, long-time member of the Balance Point Christian Communities, again, we welcome you home. Today we're going to be on our Thursday night Bible study. Almost at our Thursday night Bible study. Our Thursday night Bible study. Today we are going to be taking a look at Genesis chapter 26. And we are digging further into the life of Isaac, the second of our patriarchs. And so some of this is going to seem familiar. If you've been with us through the Genesis series, you're going to recognize some of the themes and some of the motifs. But again, there is a message here and there is hope here, even in this chapter. So let's begin as we always do here at Balance Point by bowing our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne in awe that you would love us enough to not only create us, but that you would love us enough that you would leave your word for us to be able to get to know you and to get to know how you think and how you work. Father God, merciful God, we ask that you would enlighten us to your word. We ask that your word would go forth and do what you desire for it to do. We ask that the message tonight would be what your people need to hear. And Father God, that this would not be the wisdom of man, but rather the very oracles of God the Father. We pray, Father God, for those who are visiting us and those who do not know you, that through this message, they may find your grace, your mercy, and come to be at peace with you. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, today, as I mentioned in the introduction, we're going to be taking another look at Isaac. And we're going to be looking at that kind of period of time between when Jacob and Esau were born and when Jacob gets sent away. And so let's take a brief peek at the life of Isaac. Genesis chapter 26, beginning at verse 1. Now there was a famine in the land, besides the previous famine that occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. So this is the second famine, and a lot of scholars believe that there was actually only one famine, and this is just, you know, the Hebrew way of repeating a story in order to bring out the emphasis of the story. But this is actually a second famine that goes down. And so Isaac is going to be meeting up with Abimelech. We've met this gentleman before, but this is not the same Abimelech that Abraham dealt with, because this would be almost 40 years later. And so we happen to believe that Abimelech, rather than being a personal name, is actually, in fact, the name, or rather the title of the person. So Abimelech is a title rather than a personal name. And the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land which I shall tell you." And so this is God's provision. God is saying, hey, don't go down. I know that the grass looks greener on the other side. And it's amazing how often to those of us who have been brought up in the church, the grass looks greener on the other side. But God says, look, I know that the land is in famine, but stay here. Watch this. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. And to you and your descendants, I will give these land. I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and I will give your descendants all these lands. And by your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. So Isaac lived in Gerar. Stay in the land. Sojourn in the land. And I will be with you. We need to keep sight of the fact that even though the land may look like it's in a land in a time of famine, even though it looks like there is a famine of the word in our land, we need to stay in the land. We need to live in the land. We need to be a blessing to the land that we are in. Even though we look at the news and we see that our government is, and this is going to sound disrespectful, but our government is being run by people who are, shall we say, less than wise. We need to stay in the land. We need to pray for the land. We need to pray for our leaders. Whether you like your leaders and whether your leaders like you, we are charged to pray for our leaders. Why? Because God is with us. God will bless us. God will bring us joy. And not only to us, but God will bring us joy to those who follow us. Whether we're talking about our physical descendants of our children and our grandchildren, or whether we're talking about our spiritual descendants, those who will come after us in the walk of faith, God will bless us. Because God has promised us a promise. Now, to those of us that are Christ followers, our promise doesn't simply exist here on earth. Yes, we will enjoy the earth. Yes, we will enjoy the land that we are in. But our promise is the kingdom of heaven. And if we will just sojourn, if we will just stay where we are, God will bless us, not with the kingdom of heaven after we die, but God will bless us with the kingdom of heaven while we're here on earth. Why? Because God made a promise to Abraham. God promised that he would multiply. God promised that he would make the seed of Abraham as the stars of heaven. God promised that. Why? Because God is seeking after a family to call his own. God promised that the nations would be blessed. The descendants of all the nations. Do you realize that 99% of all Christians are not Jewish? They don't have a Jewish background. We are the recipients of the blessing of Abraham. For through Abraham, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And let me tell you, I know that in pretty much every nation, there is someone who calls upon the name of Jesus. In every people, there is someone who calls upon the name of Jesus. We haven't reached every tribe and every tongue yet. But in every people group, there is a remnant that calls upon the name of Jesus. And even today, the promise is being fulfilled. The promise of the blessing of Abraham. The promise, and what was the blessing of Abraham? One of the greatest blessings that Abraham received was God called Abraham his friend. And if you have trusted in the name of Jesus, you are called a friend of God. You're called a friend of God. You'll be known as a friend of God. And so what did Isaac do? He lived in Gerar. He was obedient. He was obedient. But how many of you know that sometimes we don't follow God just the way we should? And so picking up in verse 7, when the men of the place asked about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." We've seen this behavior before. When Abraham was in the land of the Philistines with the previous Abimelech, Abraham said to Sarah, Say to the people of the land that you're my sister. When Abraham went down to the land of Egypt during the famine, they told Pharaoh, she is my sister. And why? For the very same reasons that Isaac does this, for the very same reasons that Abraham did. For he was afraid to say, my wife, thinking the men of this place might kill me on account of Rebekah, for she is beautiful. Now I want you to think about something. Isaac and Rebekah got married. Isaac was 40 when he got married. Took 20 years to have a kid. So, best case, Rebekah was somewhere around 40 about this time. She may have been somewhere between 40 and 60. And the Bible says she was beautiful. She was beautiful enough that Isaac was afraid for his life. Why? Because back in those days, you know, if you saw a woman that you thought was beautiful, quite often you would just kill the husband and take over the family. And so Isaac was afraid. But see, there was no need for him to be afraid because God previously said, I will be with you. I will be with you. You see, we as children of God do not have to fear because God is with us. There's only so much that man can do to us. Man can throw us in jail. Man can take our lives. But should we not fear more the one who can destroy our spirit? You see, I see a lot of my brothers and sisters getting all uptight and all upset about what here in America we call the social justice warrior. Getting all upset about, you know, radical feminism, radical, you know, lesbian, gay community outreaches and that sort of thing. But we have not to fear because God's with us. And if we're fearing, that means that we don't trust that God is with us. I don't fear when I go out. I don't fear to share the love of God when I go out because I know that my God is with me. I know that anybody that's stupid enough to harm me, all they're doing is moving me one step closer to glory. And so we need not fear. Verse 8, it came about that when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked out through a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was caressing his wife Rebekah. Now, whereas Abraham ended up having Sarah taken into the harem of the king, God didn't even let it get that far. God arranged for the king to see that Rebekah was Isaac's wife. And so where the father may have gotten away with it a little bit further, Isaac isn't. And that should be a comfort to us. And that when we are thinking that we're going to get away with something, we're thinking that we're going to get away with sin, we're going to get away with it, God is going to arrange so that we don't step too deep into whatever we're getting into. So watch what happens. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, certainly she is your wife. How then did you say she is my sister? And Isaac said to him, because I said I might die on account of her. See, here's the thing. We who are children of God, we need to be careful how we live out in the world. Because God will use non-believers to call us out. Over and over again throughout the Old Testament, we see where God uses men and people who are not of Israel, who are not of the descendants of Abraham, to bring rebuke and to bring chastisement And see, here's the thing. When we do things that go against God, when we do things that go against the truth, we lose our ability to talk to the unbeliever about the things of God. We lose that ability. We lose our witness, because then they can come back and say, well, you're no better than us. You're just as hypocritical as the rest of us. And we hear this all the time. This is one of the reasons why Balance Point grows so much. Because a lot of people will not set foot in most churches because they feel like they're full of hypocrites. And again, that's the wrong idea to have. And yet it's the idea that many people carry with them. And so what's different about Balance Point? Difference about Balance Point is we're open. We straight up say we are not perfect. We strive to perfection. We believe that at some point God will perfect us even before we go to the grave. But we're on a journey. We're on a journey. And we at Balance Point say, come and take the journey with us. And so watch this. Even though Isaac sinned through lying about his wife, God's going to protect him. Now, I'm not saying we should sin to get God's protection, but I am saying that if you're a child of God, God is going to treat you right in spite of yourself. Not because you're holy. As we preached in our Sunday message, there will be no perfect people in heaven. In fact, the only humans that are in heaven, other than Jesus, will all, every one of them, single, without question, be sinners. But they will be sinners saved by grace. Watch the grace of God in this account. So Abimelech charged all the people, saying, he who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. It's interesting, even before the time of the law of Moses, we see that adultery was punishable, even in the pagan culture, by death. So watch this. Isaac is being protected by God. But let me tell you, anytime that God is on your side, there's going to be jealousy. Anytime that God prospers you, there's going to be people that are going to want to take you down and push you out. And that's what is about to happen to Isaac. Now, Isaac sowed in the land and reaped that same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And he became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. Now watch this. Isaac had already inherited all that Abraham had, less what Abraham gave to the children of his wife, his other wives and concubines. And now God is richly blessing him. God is blessing him materially. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. When you walk with God, you're going to kick up some envy. And this has been the plight of all the children of God. In fact, it's interesting, because there is a lot of anti-Semitism towards the Jewish people. And a lot of that derives from jealousy. You see, it is true that God blesses the Jewish people, not just because they're Jewish. But here's something funny. Even in much of their unbelief about God, because they feel like God's abandoned them. Many of them feel like, God has kicked them to the curb. And so many of them are Jewish purely in terms of ethnicity, but not in faithfulness to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Here's something funny about them. They're just the type of people who, when it comes to the natural world and comes to material things, they follow God's law. And here's the thing about God's law. And by the way, this is not a sermon to say, hey, we need to go back to the law of Moses. But there are principles that are baked into the laws that God has set forth. That when you obey those laws, you get certain results. One of those laws is the laws of sowing and reaping. If you throw some seeds down in the ground, you're going to reap a crop. Okay? Whatever you sow out, you are going to reap. There is the law of generosity. If you are willing to give away, God will not be in debt to any person. So God will not only pay you back what you gave, he will pay you back more than you gave. And quite often, he'll also pay you back in ways that you didn't even think to give. And so Isaac was obeying what God said, and he sowed in the land. He reaped 100-fold. He had flocks and herd and a great household. And so what happens when people see that you're being blessed by God? Well, they're going to get envy. And that's what the Philistines did. They envy. And then watch what they do. Now, all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines stopped up by filling them with dirt. When you're being blessed, when God is with you, you better believe that eventually they're going to come and throw dirt on your party. Now, here's the thing. If you have a lot of herds and you have this farmland, you need the well. You need the well. And so by stopping up the wells, the Philistines were hoping to kill the blessing that God had given Isaac. Today we see that when a person is blessed, there's great envy. And even today in the Western world, there's this whole idea of a class struggle, a class fight, where those that don't have want the stuff that the folks who do have. And so there's this idea that we should redistribute the wealth. Well, instead of redistributing the wealth, why not seek the blessing of God? Why not seek the face of God? Because see, with God, there is no limitation. And I'm not just talking about, you know, monetary thing. I mean, how many people see a husband and wife that are still in love after 30, 40, 50 years? And they grumble under their breath. Is not a healthy, happy marriage till death do us part a blessing from God? Why is it? And what is it about us that causes us to not seek the giver, but instead want to seek the destruction of the gift? And so the Philistines stopped up the wells by filling them with dirt. And then watch it. And then Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us. You're too powerful for us. You see, Isaac had a household. Now remember, 40 years ago, Abraham was able to raise an army from within his own house of 300 trained men. Back in that day, it was unusual to have a trained standing army. Most armies that fought back then were made of the farmers and the citizens of the city. that would come together in a time of crisis, and it was usually a ragtag group of folks fighting with pitchforks and sickles and farm implements. Isaac was wealthy enough that he had a standing army. And so Abimelech says, go away from us, for you are too powerful. When God is blessing, you need to understand that if God is fulfilling his promises to you, if God is blessing you, you need to understand that there are those that are around you that are not going to be able to stand it, and they are going to push you away. Because here's the thing. If you are living openly for God, if you are openly following God's commands, if you are openly loving God and worshiping God, you become a testament against those of you, those that are around you, who are not following God. And you become a mirror in which they see their shortcomings. And you don't have to preach at them. You don't have to say anything. But just the way that you live. And so first they'll try to sabotage you. Then they'll try to push you away. And watch what Isaac does. Isaac departed from there and he camped in the Valley of Gerar and he settled there. So Isaac moved out to the suburbs. And so watch what happened. Isaac again dug the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And he gave them the same names which his father had given them. And so Isaac went back and he did again the things that had been done that brought his father Abraham success. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of flowing water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with the herdsmen of Isaac, saying, the water is there, ours. So first they were envious, then they tried to destroy it, and then they wanted to take away the blessing. So he named the well Esek because they contended with him. And the Hebrew word Esek means contention. And then they dug another well and they quarreled over that well. So he named it Sitna, which means enmity, fighting. And so what did Isaac do? Well, he didn't want to fight. To be really honest, Isaac probably had a force that was large enough that he could have just wiped them out. And just as we as believers have a force called the God of heaven, who's willing to send legions of angels down for his children. But no, Isaac said, you know, I'm going to live and let live. And he moved away from there and he dug another well and they did not quarrel over it. So he named it Rehoboth. For he said, at last the Lord has made room for us, and we will be fruitful in the land. And Rehoboth means a broad place. You see, Isaac, what he did is he just went out further, and he kept doing the things that God had told him to do. And when he got out far enough, God made a way. And then he went up from there to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him there that same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear. Watch this. Up to this time, Isaac's been chased. You and I as believers will be chased by those who do not love God and do not love us. And this word is for us. I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear. I am with you. And I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. And so he, that's Isaac, built an altar there, and he called upon the name of the Lord. And he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servant dug a well. So now Isaac is going to find peace. But here's the thing. though he found peace, his problem is going to follow. But what used to be a problem is going to turn into a treaty of peace. And then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with his advisor, Ahuzath, and Phicol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said, "Why have you come to me? Since you hate me and you sent me away from you." Guess what, dear brothers and sisters? There's going to come a day when the world is going to want to come around you. After they have seen how God has blessed you. And watch what they're going to say. And they said, "We see plainly that the Lord has been with you." So we said, "Let there now be an oath between us, even between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you, that you will do us no harm, just as we have not touched you." Excuse me, they drove him away. They stopped up the wells. They tried to destroy the blessing of God. "But done good and have sent you away in peace." I don't know. I say, if you're stopping up the wells that my folks are digging and you're stealing the wells, that's not peace. You are now the blessed of God. So they came back to him and said, "You know, we sent you away in peace, huh? And we want to make a covenant with you of peace." You know why they wanted to make a covenant? Because God had blessed them. God had blessed Isaac. Just as God blesses us in various ways. And when the world realizes that God is on our side, they figure, "Oh, snap. Maybe, just maybe, we shouldn't be messing with this dude or this dudette." And they're going to come and they're going to try to make peace. But the thing is, there can never be peace between the children of God and the children of the world. It isn't that we don't want peace, because blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. And so we must be peacemakers. For it is only as a peacemaker that we inherit the kingdom of peace. It is only as peacemakers that we are the subjects of the Prince of Peace. So, verse 3, "He made them a feast and they ate and drank." Covenants were often ratified over a meal. "And in the morning they arose early and they exchanged oaths. And then Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. Now it came about on the same day that Isaac's servants came in and told him about a well which they had dug, and said to him, 'We have found water.' And so they called it Sheba. And therefore the name of the city is Beersheba to this day." So Isaac finds peace with the inhabitants of the land. But then there's going to be strife in the family of Isaac. And then Esau was 40. He married Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And they brought grief to Isaac and Rebekah. We don't know what kind of grief they brought, but it's going to cause problems in the family of Isaac. Even more problems that are already there. And we're going to see some of these problems come to a head in our next lesson next week when we study chapter 27. But I want to leave you with this. We are the recipient of the promise of Abraham to be both blessed and a blessing to those around us. But that blessing only comes in accordance with how we stay in the land of promise. Do we stay in the heavenly places where we've been seated with Christ? And if you've never been seated with Christ, today you can be seated with him. And it is as simple as trusting on his name. And normally I would lead in a prayer, but I'm going to pray for those who have never trusted in Christ and want to do that today. Father God, we just thank you for this time in your word. And Father God, I just lift up those who have never trusted on you. And I ask in the name of Jesus that you would just draw them in. Father, welcome them to the family as they profess the Lordship of Christ and they profess their repentance. And Father God, we just ask that you would just send your Holy Spirit upon them. In the blessed name of your son, Jesus, amen and amen. If Balance Point is touching you, we would love if you would help out the Balance Point Christian community. First off, you can help us out by letting us know that you're out there. And that's as simple as dropping us a letter by email at staff@balance-point.org, messaging us at Balance Point Church, Balance Point CC on Facebook, messaging us on YouTube or Google Plus at Balance Point Church, or sending us a letter or a postcard. And you can send those to Balance Point Church at 1998 East Orris Street, Willowbrook, California, 90222. We'd love to hear from you. If you're a first-time guest, we would also love to hear from you as well. And you can reach us by those same methods. And now receive the blessing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Go forth to be a blessing to those around you. Until we come again, amen and amen.